Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
Chapter number 4. I'll give you an opportunity to find that passage of scripture. I believe it'd be right and in order to say that I appreciate Jace and honor him for being here today in these church services. Praise the Lord. Our newest member, we're thankful that he is here. Praise God. And I failed to mention it this morning, intended to, but I wanted to say something about it tonight. I'm grateful for him and the Fields family. Praise God. 2 Kings chapter number 4 and verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wise of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me. That's a pretty tall order there, isn't it? That's a pretty awesome thing to be asked. What is it that can be done for you? I'm open to whatever. What hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. He said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door. Thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. And thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. There's a couple of things that I want you to note. Verse 4, it says, Thou shalt shut the door. This was the command. Thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. And the Bible says in verse 5, And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her. And I want you to note this, and she poured out. And so I want to speak from my heart here tonight to yours, with the help of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, behind closed doors. Behind closed doors. Would you lift up your hands? We're already in the presence of the Lord. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is here. Let's just pray that He would continue to let the anointing flow in this place as the Word of God goes forth here tonight. Jesus, we thank you so very much for your touch, for your help, for your strength. God, I pray that you would anoint my lips of clay as I endeavor to speak forth your holy word. I thank you, God, for this precious opportunity and these good people. I pray, God, that we could be a blessing to them tonight. You, God, would minister to their needs in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen. Thank you so much for standing, and you may be seated. This is not an unfamiliar story that I have read to you a portion of from the scripture. Matter of fact, 2 Kings chapter number 4 is a very rich and power-packed chapter in the Old Testament, telling of the miracles that God performed through his prophet Elisha. We know that Elisha was the successor of Elijah, and he had asked for and received a double portion of Elijah's spirit upon him. And here in this particular passage of Scripture, the Bible tells us about this certain woman. It doesn't give her name, her identity. There are some theologians that have supposed that she was the wife of Obadiah, Obadiah being one of the prophets during this era of time, during the reign of Ahab, and that perhaps being the wife of Obadiah, and after he had passed away, she was left in this destitute position. She does make it clear that her husband was a man of God, a servant of the Lord, a prophet. And now that he was gone, she had no way to support her family. And you understand that many times a lady in this position has followed her husband. She has supported her husband. And now that he has passed away, there's really nobody to care for her. And this was the position that she was in. It was a very dire situation. And her two sons, perhaps not old enough just yet to go out and find employment for themselves. Maybe they were maturing. Maybe they were growing. And she was trying to do her very best to raise them. And the creditor was threatening to come and take them away and use them later in life as bondsmen and to some way settle the debt and the score that he had with this family. And she explains this to the man of God. She said, the creditor has come and has threatened what little I have left. I've already lost so much. I've already lost my husband. I've already lost my spouse. I've already lost my lifelong companion. And now the most precious things to me that is left is my two sons. And the creditor is threatened to come and take them away also. And the prophet asked her a very peculiar question. He said, what do you have left in your house that God can do something with? Is there anything that you have, any resource that you possess that the Lord could work with? And she said, thine handmaiden hath not anything in the house, save, as if it was an afterthought, or maybe she just remembered it, save a very small pot of oil. That's really all I've got, is just a small cruse of oil, and there's a little in the bottom of that cruse, and basically that's all I've got left, man of God. And he said, I'll tell you what you do. You send those sons out into the neighborhood among your friends, and you ask them to lend you vessels, and you bring them into that house of yours, this house that is empty of everything just about. Maybe she had sold off the furnishings. Maybe she had sold off the couch and the love seat and the recliner. And maybe they were even sleeping on the floors because the bedroom suit had been auctioned off to try to make the creditor happy. But she has very little left. And he says, I want you to go and borrow vessels. And I want you to bring them into that house. And then he instructs her to do something. He said, I want you to shut the door. Shut the door. And when you do, when you are shut up with your sons and those vessels, something miraculous is going to happen. And the Bible tells us in the very next verse that she does precisely what she was instructed to do by the prophet. She followed it to the last detail. She did exactly as he had told her, that she brought those vessels, or the sons brought them in, as many as they possibly could, and they shut the door. And when I read that, again here in this service tonight, that began to stand out to me, and it seems that it was emphasized in this passage of Scripture. It's mentioned twice that she needed to, and then she did shut the door. And there was something that happened outside of public view. There was a miracle that transpired that others could not see. There was something that happened inside of that house that those on the street were not aware of. Maybe they were passing by. Maybe they were walking up and down through that neighborhood. Maybe there were those that were carrying out business transactions across the street. Maybe there were those that that lived down the road that didn't realize how desperate of a situation that she was in. Maybe there were those that lived around her that were unaware of what was transpiring at that very moment. But a miracle was fixing to take place. And if I could, I would like to relate this a little deeper than just what we see here on the surface. If I can make a spiritual application of this story, there's a lot of things that people around us are not aware of. There's a lot of things that on the surface people do not know about. There's a lot of things that is going on internally in people's lives that nobody but them and God is aware of. You are not there to hear their prayers. You're not there many times to listen as they agonize before God. They bear the burden and the brunt of hurts and situations in their life that they so desperately desire for God to intervene in. They so hunger for there to be a change in their circumstances. No doubt this lady had lay awake at night, worrying, fearful for what was going to happen to her two sons. Maybe this lady had even wondered and perhaps even questioned God. Why is it that this is happening to me? Why is it that my husband was taken away prematurely? Why is it that I'm left by myself to raise these two boys and to try to scratch out an existence and merely survive, and it looks like I'm not even going to be able to do that? I've been humbled. I've been broken. I've been bruised. Things that I didn't expect has happened. Things that I didn't plan on, I had no contingency for, has transpired in my life and left me in this condition. And I've wondered and questioned why my husband gave his life to God. My husband gave his best to the work of God and the ministry. And this is what has happened. And I don't understand it. I've dedicated myself to the things of the Lord. I've lived a faithful life. I have been what I could be for God and supported the work of God. I could have been selfish and I could have done it and lived for myself and made myself a secure life and lifestyle. But no, we gave everything to the things of God, and this is what has happened. And I don't understand it. I don't know why. And then the man of God comes by at this moment. This is something that is going on internally. It's a war that is taking place within this lady. And people around her, I don't know how much they even were aware of it. I don't know how much they were even cognizant of what was transpiring or what was taking place. And I felt here tonight that I am preaching to somebody in that condition, in that place. You wonder if anybody identifies with you. You wonder if there's anybody that even recognizes your pain and your hurt and the hollowness of your heart and the burden that you are bearing and the situation that is going on. You wonder if anybody even is aware. And I realize that the majority of folks in our world are caught up in their own lives. And we're all trying to make a way, and we're all trying to make it through, and we're all trying and endeavoring to do our best and to face the challenges that are among us in our world today. And sometimes in the busyness, even during this season of the year especially, there are folks that inwardly, they long for things, they desire things. They wish things were different. They desire things to change in their life. And I can tell by the silence of this room that I am not only on target, but I'm right where I need to be in the Holy Ghost. And right now I'm digging around in the bullseye because there's people that can identify with what the man of God is preaching here tonight, because behind closed doors, you know what it is to soak your pillow. You know what it is to toss and turn with worry. You know what it it is to be fearful for things. You know what it is to dread what tomorrow's, what else could happen? What else could go wrong? When is the creditor going to come and knock on my door? And I'm not just speaking of a bill collector. I'm talking about the devil. I'm talking about the imps of hell that it seemed like it's been relentless. It's not just been one front, but it's been many fronts. It's not just been one battlefield, but it's been many battlefields. It's not just been a physical attack, but it may have been a spiritual attack. And not just a spiritual attack, but an emotional attack. Because the devil, his greatest battleground is your mind. And all of us have certain levels of trying to keep our dignity. And I don't think we ought to be people that just come and hang all of our dirty laundry out and people that just go around wanting pity all the time. I don't think that accomplishes much of anything. And most of us are aware of that. And so we try to maintain. And when I use this word, I'm not using it in a bad sense or a sinful sense, because I think that it can be carried too far. But most of us have dignity and a certain level of pride. And I don't know if you can, pride is probably too strong of a word, but we don't want to admit, we don't want to let our guard down. We don't want to open the door to our business all the time, but there are things that are happening and going on within our lives, and battles and struggles and problems and challenges that you go through and that you face and that you deal with and that you pray about and you bring to the altar, and not just one time, but you carry that again to the altar, and it's another day at another prayer meeting, and you bring it again and say, God, I'm concerned about this. I need you to intervene. Come on, am I just speaking in the air here tonight, or am I helping somebody in this house? Am I painting somebody's picture in this place? I feel it so strong in the Holy Ghost to try to help somebody, because there's somebody I'm going to pull off the brink tonight. There's somebody I'm going to pull back from the edge tonight. There's somebody that's going to receive strength and renewal and restoration in your spirit tonight. You're going to get fresh hope in this house. If you'll hear this preacher this evening, God is going to speak specifically to you. God is going to minister to your hurt. You see, deep wounds take deep healing. Amen. I said deep wounds require deep healing. Amen. God is able. He's able to get down where we're living. Amen. He's able to reach down to where we need him. He's able to deal with us in the place that we need to deal. We need him to deal with us in. He is able to restore breaches that have been broken down. He is able, amen, to take what the enemy has tried to decimate and put it back together again. Oh, hallelujah. And there's some folk in this house tonight that I feel like I'm preaching to behind closed doors. You say, I wonder how much I can take. I wonder how much further I can go. I wonder how many more times I'm going to have to pray. I wonder how much more faith I've got left in me. I wonder how much further it's going to have to be carried. How much further and how much more will I have to endure? But I come preaching to you tonight. I come ministering to somebody in this house. There's a miracle that's fixed to take place. Not necessarily out in the open. Not one. You know, you've been carrying this by yourself, and God's going to heal you behind closed doors. Behind closed doors. God's going to restore, and God's going to put things back together. Come on, if you'll just take off the mask, you'll take off that veneer. You're not really fooling God. Amen. And you're not fooling really no one but yourself. Pull off that veneer. Set aside that pride for just a little bit. Amen. Admit that this is where I'm at. This is what I have need of. And she closed the door. And it wasn't until she closed the door. Amen. And the Bible talks about this. It says when you go to pray, go into your closet and close the door. Amen. Because there's things you talk to God about and you can be honest with God about that you can't talk to anybody else about. You see, folks, they'll repeat your business. Folks, they'll talk about you behind your back. Folks, they'll pontificate about your problems if you let them in on it. But sometimes you just got to say, I'm going to close the door and talk to God about it, because there's nobody that knows me like God knows me. Hallelujah. There's nobody that understands like He understands. There's nobody that is able to help me like He is able to help me. And she closed the door. And she took only what she had left. And what did the Bible say? It said, and she poured it out. Hallelujah. And she poured it out. There's somebody in this room tonight. Your miracle is not going to happen. I feel like telling you this. Your miracle is not going to happen until you're willing to pour everything out. I'm not saying you got to make a fool out of yourself. I'm talking about behind closed doors. I'm talking about in that prayer closet, in that altar situation with God. Pour it out and say, God, here it is. There's nothing left. It's all there. Every bit of pain, every bit of hurt, every bit of burden. Come on, every bit of misunderstanding, every bit of questioning, every bit of doubt, every bit of fear, every bit of your worries, pour it out on the altar, pour it out in the presence of God, and He takes that, and He begins to do something with it. I said He begins to do something that before, amen, it seemed like an impossibility. It looked like the creditor was going to come, and there was just inevitable what was going to happen. It looked like the end of the story was going to be one that was going to be sorrow and sadness. But at the end of this story, because she was willing to pour herself out behind closed doors, the scripture says that God began to multiply, and God began to perform a miracle, and God brought restoration to that family, and God gave her something that she could live on. I feel like emphasizing that. He said, go and live. Go. Death looked like it was certain. It looked like this was a hopeless situation. But He said, from this point, you're going to be able to go and live until the famine is over. I want to preach to somebody. God can give you in this service, not just a little bit so you can make it the next week, but He'll give you something that you can live on. Amen. That'll carry you through. That'll bring you out. Amen. That'll raise you up. That'll take you to the next level and place that you need to go. Amen. If there's somebody that feels what I'm preaching here tonight, I'm not just whistling in the wind. I feel like I'm in the Holy Ghost. You ought to stand to your feet. You ought to clap your hands. You ought to stomp. You ought to shout. You ought to leap for joy. You ought to do something. Amen. If you believe that God can bring me out of this dire situation. Come on, some of you that need it, you're not responding near enough. I said, you're not doing near enough. If I needed a miracle, I'd want to get God's attention tonight. If I was desperate, I'd want to get God's attention tonight. Come on, pour yourself out. Pour out your worship. Pour out your prayer. Pour out your faith. Pour out of yourself. Pour out that bitterness. Pour out that unbelief. Pour out that unforgiving spirit. Pour out. Pour it out. Pour it out. Pour it out. And see if God won't give you a miracle. You see, your miracle swings on small hinges. And it's usually some little thing that we do in obedience to God that brings about big results. Small hinges, big doors, the old saying is, swing on small hinges. Amen. And the hinge here tonight is when you close that door, you being willing to pour yourself out. As long as you're holding on, as long as you're holding back, as long as you're internalizing it, as long as you're trying to figure it out in your own mind and reason it within your own self and trying to work it out in your own logic and trying to feel like I got this. Amen. That's what people like to say nowadays. I got this. I got this. You ain't got nothing. I said, you haven't anything. Hallelujah. She said, I realize. I thought I had this and I had to let the couch go. I thought I had this and I had to sell the bedroom suit. I thought I had this and now I'm penniless. I thought I had this and I've sold my whole wardrobe in a garage sale. I've let everything go. Amen. I thought I had all I got now. Amen. And God is saying, what you got left, you're still going to have to pour that out. You're still going to have to give that all to me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. And I feel it so strong in my spirit right now. Behind closed doors. Amen. In the secrecy of my own relationship with God. In the secrecy of my own home. And within my own thoughts. Amen. Maybe people in this room have been devising plans. You've been setting up things and putting things together because human reason tells you that's the only way that's going to work. And behind closed doors, you've been saying, if I'm going to keep what I got left, I've got to do this. When God is saying, if you'll pour it out, I can do something. I can bring you a miracle. I can bring you a miracle. Come to music. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, if we've resonated with anybody in this place, you ought to raise your hands. Maybe I'm talking to some parent that's bore the burden of a lost child. Maybe I'm talking to some person in this place that superficially it all looks good, but you got some big problems. You got some big hurdles to overcome. On the surface, everything is smiles and laughter, but deep in your spirit there's a hurt, there's a wound. It needs to be healed tonight. Hallelujah. Deep wounds require deep healing. Praise God. And they require attention. Nowadays, you know, the body, if it's healthy and if it's what it should be, usually wounds will heal on their own. Nowadays, they have what they call wound centers, where attention on a daily basis many times is given to a wound. I have a friend of mine that preached for us this last weekend. His wife has had a wound on her leg for the last 4 years that has not went away. She was unable to be here last weekend because of circulation problems. And the blood goes down, but it isn't able to come up on its own without her leg being elevated, so she many times has to stay in the bed with her leg elevated. And because of that, there's wounds and ulcerated places that come out on her feet and on her legs. It's a very dire situation. And they've done all kinds of different types of therapy. He said one of the things that they do is a massage. They've tried hyperbaric treatments, where they try to push as much oxygen into that area and bring healing to that area, much of it as intensely as they can. Deep wounds require deep healing, require going to extremes sometimes. Amen. I'm preaching to somebody here. I'm doing my best as a wound care specialist in the spirit to reach to somebody and ask you, why don't you just pour it out so that God can do his work here tonight. Is there somebody that'd like to return to this altar right now? Is there somebody that'd like to come? Is there somebody that'd like to find a place before God and say, God, I want to be willing. When she closed the doors, she said, that's the hinge my miracle is upon. And she poured it out. Amen. And the Bible says that God began his work of giving her a miracle. I feel like as you do what I'm instructing you to do in the Holy Ghost here tonight, you're going to receive a miracle. You're going to receive an answer. Hallelujah.